We are in part two of our series about the United Church of Christ, who we are, what we believe, what is this name that we have in our church, and what does it mean to be a part of the United Church of Christ. Last week, we talked about unity and how unity was the founding principle in 1957 at the beginning of our denomination, and we looked at the scripture, and if you look at our branding, you'll still have that oval symbol with our United Church of Christ logo, and in the bottom portion, it has John 17:21, which says that they all may be one. This is this founding scripture upon which these four different legs of our table came together, with the belief that Jesus wanted his church to be united. We talked about how in essentials we should be united, in non-essentials that we should have diversity and allow diversity within our numbers, and with all things we should practice charity. This is how we can live in covenant with each other. This is perhaps the only way that we can live in covenant with one another, despite its difficulties, is to allow that diversity to be in a place where we can challenge each other in faith and still be charitable to one another. Today, we go to the 21st century. We skip ahead in time. We go to the early 2000s, to the campaign that no doubt you've heard of and hope that you have heard of, to the God is Still Speaking campaign. In 2004, this came out from our United Church of Christ in order to promote the message, and this is from the material of the God is Still Speaking campaign, that anyone could find a spiritual home in the UCC, anyone, no matter who you are and where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. That was one of the sayings of this campaign. So anyone could find a spiritual home here in the UCC. Didn't have to grow up in the church. Didn't have to know the lingo. Didn't have to know when to stand and when to kneel. That anyone could be nurtured in their faith and be blessed to reach out to others with their God-given talents and gifts. We wanted to throw open the doors. We didn't want to limit who was in our pews. Perhaps you have seen the commercial where somebody's sitting in a pew and they get tossed out with a little magic button from somebody behind a curtain. We didn't want to be that kind of church. Anyone could come and be a part of the body of Christ using their God-given talents and gifts. From this God is Still Speaking campaign, we have these sort of sayings. Our faith is 2,000 years old, but our thinking is not. Or, don't put a period where God has put a comma. Perhaps you recall that as well. Well, where did this come from? Well, once again, we reach back in the time, we reach back into our roots, way back to the old world, before the pilgrims came to this continent, to the Reverend John Robertson, who before the pilgrims literally got aboard the ship to come to the new world, he had a message for them. He was not going himself. He was, in a sense, commissioning them to go forward and blessing them in their voyage. He said, I am verily persuaded the Lord hath more truth yet to break forth out of his holy word. More truth to break forth out of his holy word. In other words, we got more to learn. In other words, God is not done with the church yet. The Congregationalist, or what became the Congregationalist, dates from these pilgrims. It became the largest denomination in the United States in the 19th century. It is part of our heritage. We as UCCers affirm that God has yet more truth to break forth from God's holy word. We believe as UCCers that God is not done with us yet, done with us as people. There's a lot left in our journey. Not done with us as a local church, as a national church, not done with us as Christians, not done showing us truth, not done showing us what we should and shouldn't do as Christians, as our modern understanding of the way the world and the universe works, as science has expanded our understanding of these things. We ask the question what it means to be a human being, to be children of God in the age of the Enlightenment. That was in the 19th century. In the age of the postmodern age of the 21st century as well. How should we inform ourselves? What's the way we think of God in our 21st century culture? How do we think of our faith? What do we believe? How do we mesh these things together when we look at our world? As UCCers, we believe that the Bible is inspired from human beings, which, as we know, is imperfect, but nevertheless inspired from God, inspired by encounters with God, I should say more specifically, and this is quoting the great, late great Marcus Borg, a theologian that you can Google. It's not the inerrant words of God necessarily, but it is our most important document. It is the most important guide in our Christian walk. Our scripture today, verses 16, says this: all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful. In other words, it's a tool. It is useful for teaching, for reproof, for corrections, and for training in righteousness. Says it pretty well, doesn't it? We have to decide what the Bible is and is not for us. What is it? It's the best thing that we have to teach us about God. It is a useful tool, especially highlighting the gospel, the story of Jesus Christ, his teachings, his life, his miracles. What it is not the only thing that we have for us to learn about God. We have other people in our lives. We have parents who have loved us and embraced us, who have taught us about God. It is completely possible that we might arrive at the love of God and the truth of God without having read the Bible. So while it is very important to us, it is not the be-all and end-all. Why? Well, the Bible often contradicts itself. It says different things in different places. And what do we do with that? How do we reconcile that? Well, as we talked about last week when we said that everything ought to be viewed with the eyes of charity, we ought to view the Bible as well through the eyes of love, all things charity, through the eyes of the gospel that we hold up as primary. Because as Jesus Christ proclaimed the gospel, we acknowledge Jesus Christ as head of our church, of the United Church of Christ. In the UCC, we were the first major denomination and pioneered the idea of what is called historical criticism of the Bible, looking at the Bible critically and in depth, really studying it, knowing why it says what it does. Why these words? Understanding the audience to whom the Bible was written to. Understanding who wrote it, when it was written, what was going on in the world, what was going on in the lives of these people when this was written. These things can play a part in our interpretation and our understanding of what the Bible is saying to us. In the Bible, they did not know what sexual orientation was. They had no concept of that idea. They lived in a male-dominated society. They lived in a society in the Old Testament where polygamy was common and allowed. In the Old and New Testament, they lived in a period of slavery. So there were things going on that were not a part of our lives today that were common in those days. Thank God that society has moved on from this. As Christians, we used to think that people of different races were less, that people of color were less than us. And we used the Bible in order to justify it. As Christians, we used to say that slavery was okay. That was a thing. And we used the Bible to justify that. As Christians, we believe that women weren't supposed to be ministers. And we used the Bible to justify that as well. All of this we have since changed our mind about, collectively speaking. And all of this was relatively recent in the history of humanity and the history of the church. I do not think we need the influence of God speaking to us. I do think we need the influence of God speaking to us in order to be on the right side of history. We need God's inspiration. We need God's constant attention. In the UCC, we have a record of being first, the forefront of listening to where God is leading to us. Not always. Sometimes we have been wrong in history. Sometimes we have been on the wrong side of it. But we were the first to ordain a woman, to ordain a person of color in the United States, to ordain people of a different sexual orientation. We were the first to do so. This discussion that we have been going through with Open and Affirming is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to engage the Bible with what we believe God is leading us to do, what we believe God is saying to us today. We no longer exclude people from full inclusion for divorce, for example, for not tithing. We still allow people within our church who don't tithe. We still allow people in our church who might have a tattoo. The Bible says decrees against these things, yet we allow it here. So the question begs, why do we hang on to certain prohibitions and not to others? Why do we hang on to the same-sex debate and not others about food and clothes? It's worth asking the question. Walter Brueggemann is an Old Testament scholar who lives in Ohio. He's written over 100 books. He used to teach at the Columbia University and at their seminary. He proposed a controversial idea. The idea that God is capable of changing God's own mind. And bear with me as I go through his argument briefly. Case in point, the flood. God had one way to deal with humanity and humanity's disobedience, and that was to wipe everything out. Well, God isn't going to do that anymore according to our Holy Scriptures, right? God changed. God then tried to deal with us through laws and rules, through the Ten Commandments. Then God tried to deal with us through kings of nations like David and Solomon. Then God tried to deal with us through the inspiration of the prophets. And then, of course, God tried to deal with us through Jesus Christ, who we believe as the ultimate revelation of God, right? But did not Jesus change what God cared about? Yes, it does. Jesus said himself that I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. But then he goes on to say in Matthew 5 specifically, a whole bunch of paragraphs that start with this phrase, "You have heard it said, but I tell you." Go home and read Matthew chapter 5. You've heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you this. It's a whole list of things. And even Jesus had his mind changed in one story in the gospel by an unnamed Syrophoenician woman who persuaded Jesus to heal her daughter. Because he wasn't going to do it at first. He says that my mission is for the lost sheep of Israel and wanted to ignore the woman shouting at him. Well, she makes an argument. However, even the dogs, because Jesus called them dogs, Gentiles dogs, even the dogs get scraps from the master's table. And for that, he didn't have a recoil. He didn't have a recourse. And so he healed the daughter. So, according to Scripture, according to our faith tradition, we believe in a God that can be persuaded. And if we did not believe that God could be persuaded, then why do we pray to God and ask for God's help and graces and ask for all kinds of things from God? God was persuaded in the book of Numbers by Moses to not destroy them. Yet another example. So we do not worship the Bible, folks. We don't worship the Bible. To do so would to make the Bible itself an idol. It is pages. It is ink. No, what we worship, children of God, is a living, a dynamic God. A God who is a character in our faith story. A God, perhaps, that has grown along with us in faith. A God who is right there next to us, walking with us, loving us. The Bible is a tool to help us get to this God. God also speaks to us in so many different ways. I hope God does. When you're driving to work, when you're in the shower, when you're sitting alone in your living room, whatever it might be, I pray that God does speak to you. So many blessed times in life. How many have we missed out? God speaks to us in dark times, in times of celebration, in the mundane times, in memorable times in our lives. God speaks to us in times we might not even remember that he has. God speaks to us through the noise in confusion of the world. We might have to sort of discern what God is saying to us through all the noise. God speaks to us in a still, small voice in the silence when all that noise has died down, like he did with Elijah in the book of Kings. God speaks to us through other people. We talked about this morning in our Sunday school. Many of those people might have been unexpected people. People who you might not have thought, you might not hear anything holy come from their mouths. They might have something of truth for you and just for you. And God speaks to us through our own hearts and our own minds. We thank God that God does this, that God speaks to us. Otherwise, I think we would be lost in darkness and confusion. May we always be listening to this still speaking God. Amen.